Welcome to The Firehouse, the show dedicated to the brave men and women who serve our community.
Hello, and how's everybody doing today? I am your host, Chris Moses, and today, sitting with me in the firehouse is a special occasion. Is my boy, Eric Turner. What is going on, brother?
What's going on, brother?
How you feeling?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yes, man. Listen, y'all know how the firehouse is. They're in the firehouse with us, and we're just going to sit here and talk. We're going to hear about his story and just chat it up, man. When we're in the firehouse, we just chill, so ain't no difference. We're in the firehouse just hanging out. So, Eric, what's going on, brother?
I'm here, man.
You here?
Yeah, I'm going to conversate, let people know what I'm about, how the fire department's impacted my life, you know, and take it from there.
There we go. All right, so you know what? Let's start it up. Let's start with what department, which I already know, mm-hmm. what company, which I already know, one of the best companies out.
That's it.
So let's start there, and company.
Yeah, Uniondale Fire Department, born and raised. I've been in here since I was 18. I'm in the engine company. Engine company number two, Brookside.
All right, so talk to me about the ranks that you held within the fire department.
We could take it back to the juniors if you want to go way back.
So
I was lieutenant and captain of the juniors. So I've always been in a leadership position. Two-time ex-captain of the engine company, Brookside, which I belong to now. And making my way to come chief, you know, making that push.
That's what happened.
That's it.
All right, so since we were going back and you're talking about the juniors from the beginning, because the juniors started at what age? What age
did you start? Like 14,
so 15. 14 at 14, yeah. What made you say, I want to start in the fire department?
Wow.
I want to run into fires. Like, you got to think how crazy that is to say, I want to run into a fire.
Absolutely.
So, talk to me.
As a kid, I was always fascinated by fire. If the barbecue grill needed to be started, that was my thing. And I could just sit there and watch the flames. You know, if anybody can relate, that just can sit by a fire pit and just be mesmerized by the flames. And that was the thing. I guess I understood it. And I also respected it at the same time. So one day, my sister and I were upstairs in our room, and she was playing on her side of the room and I'm playing on my side. I got my Legos. And my idea of fun also was taking some Q-tips, putting them in alcohol, and lighting them as little mini torches. So, you know, so my grandmother calls. Yeah, exactly. So my grandmother calls us downstairs. I just hurry and throw everything into a plastic bucket, run downstairs, and we go to eat, not even thinking anything of it. Obviously, I thought the fire was out, you know. So my whole room fills with smoke. My grandmother freaks out, calls the fire department. So this is my first interaction with the fire department.
I had age of 14,
14, 15. I don't know exact age. Yeah. So I had the whole Uniondale Fire Department on my block, obviously, because they thought it was a legit house fire. So I'm amazed. But, you know, at the same time, then reality set in when the marshal comes over. He's like, young man, do you know how to start it? I'm like, oh, man. Like, so I had to come up with something. You know, I wasn't going to tell him what I was doing. So I said the air conditioner in the window. I think it might have been sparking, and it probably put some sparks in the bucket, you know. So, you know, they didn't press it anymore after that. My grandmother was pissed. She was like, yeah, you sit down here on the couch till your mom comes home. And I was like, oh man, I know what that meant. So yeah, my mom got home and she did what she needed to do. And then after that, she was like, I gotta find something to do with you. And I don't even know how she found out. I never asked her how she discovered the program. To this day, I still don't know, but it's thanks to her that, you know, she put me into the Junior Explorer program. So she knew I was fascinated by fire. She knew I was always around fire, and I obviously almost set my house on fire. So what better thing for me to do, you know?
So you got to juggle this the right way.
So thank you to her that she found out for the program. And I've been in it, did the junior time from 14 to 18. And from age of 18, I had two senior guys from Brookside. They walked up to me after one of the trainings, and they were like, where you going when you get out of here? And, you know, I gave them my answer, and they were like, no, you're not going over there. You're coming down here. So thanks to them, I've been with Brookside for I've been in the department 22 years now.
Wow.
So yeah, thanks to those. Yeah. So thanks to my mom and thanks to those two guys that reeled me in and brought me down to Brookside. So 22 years I've been.
22 years, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but 22 years. What can, in one word, how can you sum up what you've accomplished, what you've done, what you've learned? And I know that's a hard thing to ask, but in one word, what can you sum up when it comes to the fire department? And just, I mean, 22 years is a long time.
One just word. Have to say amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. That's great. And I hope everybody is out there that's listening, our listeners, that 22 years that he's been in and he's still, it's amazing because of what you've learned, what you've been taught, the amount of leadership that we always talk about in the fire, fire department. Yeah, I always tell my story of, I didn't know anything about leadership until I got in the fire department.
Yeah, and it's a paramilitary organization, so you have to have that.
You have to learn. How do you tell a bunch of people that you're not paying what to do?
Exactly.
And if they listen, then you realize, I got some type of leadership.
Exactly, and they respect you. Yeah.
And they respect. That's where it's at. Listen, that's where it goes. If you don't have the respect, then leadership is not going to happen.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. So everybody knows, I'm pretty sure that everyone is listening to it, is a fireman, wants to be a fireman or whatever. So they understand that Sundays is our day.
Yeah.
Sundays when we're doing it.
Absolutely.
So walk me through a typical Sunday. I don't want now. I'm talking 10 years ago. Typical Sunday.
Gotcha.
Walk me through what it looked like.
You had to be there like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You know, let's get the place cleaned up. You were in that toilet. You know, that was your thing. You had to start from the bottom. So, you know, I think every junior guy has cleaned the toilet or two in their time, has mopped the floor, swept the floor, did everything that needs to be done. You got to take care of your house, you know. And once the house is squared away, then we're going to move on to the training. Training is the most important thing. You know, we're volunteers, so we don't get the exposure that the paid guys get all the time on a consistent basis. So the training is important. So that's something we're going to do for the next 2 or 3 hours. And after that, maybe we can go get a meal and sit down and talk about what we trained on, or just talk about something else, some life stuff, or just have good fun and laughs. But it always going to start with some cleaning. Then we're going to get into the training, and then we're just going to chill and hang out afterwards, enjoy the rest of the day.
And then that's Sunday. So throughout the week, you know, you're going to the firehouse. You're going there. So what are other times that you would go and go hang out at the firehouse? For what reasons? What is that firehouse life like?
Oh, it's a second home. You know, it's a place that you can go to get away from your everyday. You can just go hang out with the guys. You know, you can watch TV, you can play your video games, you can just get away from it all. And there's nothing stopping you from training with somebody else. You know, if you just want to do an impromptu training, you can grab a couple guys, just go over the rig real quick. And, you know, it's just a second place. It's a second home. It's a place that definitely could feel comfortable and just enjoy. You know.
Just enjoy and kind of just sit back
and wait for something to happen.
But again, train or train.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the slogan? Train like your life depends on it.
Because it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So, all right. So, another question for you. 22 years, I know you got tons of stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need at least one or two stories, memorable stories. Before you start your story, I'm going to start mine.
All right, cool.
Because I got a story of this guy being in a fire on Uniondale Avenue.
Oh, man.
We're talking 2 a.m. We're screaming down Uniondale Avenue in probably 7522.
Yeah, I think so.
We get there, front door, I think we got fire coming out the rear. We got it coming out the side. We got to get into the front door. I go to the door. At this time, I think I was a probie. I was a junior guy.
Yeah,
definitely
exactly.
Junior guy if I was a probie. And I look over, Eric's right there with me, right? We get off the rig and I'm like, yo, E, what are we going to do? We got to get inside. He was like, go through the front door. I'm like, it's closed. He's like, move. When I say he donkey kicked the hell out of this door.
We had to get in there.
I was like, holy, like, we could do that? You know, I'm a two-year-old. We got a door. He's like, no. Oh, boom! Kicks the door open, and then we go to work. That's one of my memorable stories of Captain Turner straight kicking the door open, going in there.
Yeah,
but
good times.
You tell me, 22 years, I know you got some stories, so talk to me about a good story.
Well, that's only one of the doors that I kick in. So I got two of my reputation. One was, the second one was actually my own house, but I'll get into that story if we have time. But my memorable moment was my first house fire. It's nothing like when you go to fire school. Fire school, everything's under control. You kind of know what's going on. You kind of know where the fire is going to be at, you know. But that first time, and it was, I think it was like 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But we go in, I'm behind the two senior guys that dragged me down here and said, yeah, you're going to be in Brookside. So I'm following these two guys. I'm on the line. I'm ready to go. I'm all pumped up. I'm like, yeah, let's go. We crawl in. We go in the house. We go up the stairs. And just crawl into pitch dark blackness. It was just light outside, like 2 minutes ago, right? And I'm like, I second guess myself. Like, do I really want to do this? Like, what? Like, you know, like, wow. Like, this is real. Like, this is not fire school. This is real. Like, and they crawled in there. And because those two guys kept calm and they did what they did, then I was just like, all right, I'm going to be okay. And that's the beauty, I guess, of being on the engine, because, you know, you always have your way out. You got the hose line. So it's kind of, that's kind of a reassurance thing too. So that was definitely one of my memorable moments, that first time really going into a fire and just going from daylight to pitch black in a matter of moments.
It's This is real. And again, like we always say, for firemen, if any fireman tells you that they're not scared, that's not true.
Yeah,
we're all scared. Anyone scared of going into a building, but it shouldn't hinder what you do.
Exactly.
I'm going to still do my job. Yeah,
that's scared. When your training has to kick in. Exactly.
And there you go. I'm on my training.
That's it.
So you got to talk to us about your house. You already said.
So that's the second door that came in my way and didn't stand a chance. So this is a wild story. I'm at the firehouse hanging out with a couple of guys. The alarm comes over, and they didn't say my address. I don't even think they said my block. All right, so when you're in the fire department for a certain amount of time, you know how dispatch says certain things. So if this is a regular, everyday, boring alarm, they'll just come on the air and say, Firecom for Uniondale. So at this particular time, they said, Firecom on the air for the Uniondale Fire Department.
It's the right?
When he says the whole name, you know it's real. So I looked at this other guy. I said, bro, get dressed. It's a real fire. Had no idea it was my house. No idea. Get on the fire truck. Got out quick. We made a left out the firehouse. We made a left onto the main road. We made a right onto my block, you know? And I'm like, wow, one of my neighbor's house is on fire? That's crazy. It's right here on my block. That's crazy. So we go past the first stop sign. Still can't even see that it's my house. We get to the second stop sign, and I'm like, wow, that's my house. It's my house.
All right, like, so stop right there. What is the feeling of being on the back of this fire truck and see it is your house? What is the feeling?
I don't even know. It's just like, wow. Like, I know what everybody else feels now when they're waiting for us. It's like, this is my house. So, and the more importantly, I thought my mom was inside. So that, I'm like, all right, because my mom was home during the day. I'm like, all right, my mom's in there. And the flames are coming out her bedroom window. So I'm like, oh, my God. So.
All right. So, yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So getting off the fire truck. The fire truck is not even really stopped yet. I'm getting off the fire truck. I'm running there towards the house. And
Did you scout out?
Yeah. I put everything on. I had my scout on, everything ready to go. Again, there was the front door. And thinking that my mom was inside, I kicked the door in, you know, and it's funny because a couple of days later, actually, one of my neighbors, she came down and we had a good laugh about it because she said, you kicked in the door. It was like a movie, you know? So I kicked in the door. I'm screaming for my mom, no answer. So I'm like, oh, man, don't tell me this, you know, this is how my mom's going to go, you know? So my lieutenant looked at me and he said, you want to go in? And I'm like, yeah, bro, let's go. So open up the line, do what I had to do. We go in there, put the fire out. All the smoke starts to let up. You can see the bed. It's down to the coils. That's how intense the fire was. But
so when you first got in there, you walk in. So let's back up a little bit. You're in there. Mm-hmm. You got the line. You're putting out fire. You still don't know if mom is inside.
Yeah, still have no idea.
You still
can't hear anything. No screaming, nothing. So
calling, still have no idea. Yeah. You're like, let me get the line and start putting out
fire. Yeah, let's go. Okay. Let's go to work. So we had to put the fire out. So, yeah, everything is starting to lift. We get the vent going. The bed is down to the coil. So, but the good thing is there's no body in the bed. So my mom wasn't there. So fortunately, but unfortunately, she was at her breast cancer meeting and she wasn't home at the time. So, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And then that just showed me both sides of a fire, because usually we just do our thing and then we leave. But now I had to go through the whole experience of being displaced and, you know, doing that whole thing, getting the house redone and all that. So I've seen both sides of it, you know.
And that's crazy to see both sides, but to actually live it. So as we finish and we put out fire and we leave, there's still aftermath.
Yeah,
there's still boarding up the house. Yeah. There's still all these things. So
finding a place to go, Red Cross, your
after
clothes.
You put out your own fire. Now you got to go and go deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was a lot. It was a lot.
I can imagine, man. Yeah. It's like, wow, yo. Man. Wow. To
crazy
see that
situation.
I know anyone that's listening can't even think about that.
Yeah.
You pull up. Any fireman pull up in this
crazy situation. Yeah. It's like, wow.
You know, I've pulled up and there's been other people's houses that I know, but it's still not your house.
Yeah. It's a little bit different.
Somebody can possibly be in there, you know?
A little bit different. Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
That is definitely a dope story. But I need one more. Give me one more. What, you got another story?
Oh, my first basement fire. Let's tell that one. That was a definitely good learning lesson.
Before you even go into the story of the basement fire, explain why a basement fire when you
worst
say a basement
worst.
Fire to a fireman, they say, oh, wait, what?
The basement is the worst place. There's minimal ways for the smoke and the heat to escape. And once you open that door to go down there, the fire and the heat wants to come through that main way, because those little basement windows, they aren't doing it. So it's basement fires are the worst, the most snottiest, hardworking fires. You're going to come out, you're going to have snot, you're going to be...
Usually one way in, one way out.
Exactly. So, and everybody knows the hard part is getting down those stairs, you know, and you don't want to be caught on those stairs. And one of the things you also never want to do is go below grade without a whole charge line that's hosed and charged and ready to go. So it was like December or January, really cold outside. So the chauffeur, which is the guy who drives the engine and then has to pump the lines, he's had some difficulty getting water through the hydrant. So I was like, all right, by the time we get down there, I'm going to have water in my line. I'll be okay. Not thinking anything of it, not really knowing that he was having those issues, because I think we had to go around to the back to get into the basement. So obviously I can't see what he's doing and he's having those problems. So I'm thinking, yeah, once we get down the steps, you know, we'll have water. It won't be any problems. So we get down there. Again, one of the senior guys that dragged me down here, he's behind me, and we're making a push down the steps, and we get down there and I don't have any water. And here comes the flames, like, rolling over our head, obviously, because we have that door open, and now, you know, it's feeding the fire, and it wants that oxygen, so it's going to flow towards the oxygen, which is over our head. So the fire is just starting to roll over my head, and it's like, so surreal that I kind of wanted to watch it, but at the same time, it's like, all right, I got to do something. Like, yeah, exactly. So it was just amazing to see the flames. But yeah, so the senior guy behind me, he yelled and screamed, like, oh, where's your water? We got to get water. So finally we got water, put that fire out. But it was definitely a life-changing, a life-learning lesson, and something that I'll never do again. You know, going to make sure I have that hose line and ready to go.
Great, yeah, make sure you have...
Absolutely.
A water source. Absolutely. I can imagine. I can imagine what that would look like. That flames rolling over your head.
Yeah.
It's, not a... it's getting hot. You know, oh, fire, remember when I was supposed to say hot.
Yeah.
But, it's hot down here.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Man.
All right, so even with all of that, with you know, being a fireman, it's high stress at all times.
Yeah.
So with that high stress, that brings sometimes breeds issues, and everyone kind of gets a little, you know, antsy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do you maintain the camaraderie within the firehouse, knowing that, you know, we're under high stress, maybe for whatever reason that show for that day needed more training, and we've been told you that, and now I'm down there with no with no water, and it was you. Not to say that was the situation, but all these things are going through your head. Mm-hmm. How do you maintain that camaraderie where it doesn't become an issue?
Try to get away from it for a little while, to maybe sit down and have a meal, just have some jokes, talk about some other things, and just get away from that for a minute. We'll probably circle back to it. Knowing us, we'll definitely circle back to it.
We'll talk to it.
Just to sit down and have a meal, maybe have some laughs and just talk about some other stuff, or go and do something extra, a curricular activity. You know, the guys have gone to Split Splash a couple of times, Six Flags. So doing something outside of the fire department is also important to keep the guys level and keep everybody from, you know, bumping heads at all times, you know. So, yeah.
And so with that said, you know, that's one company.
Mm-hmm.
Uniondale has four companies.
Yes. Yeah.
And as you said earlier, you're aspiring to be chief.
Yeah, let's go.
Right? So how is that going to work from coming from just being and doing, you know, leadership stuff for one company to now look at four different companies?
Oh, it's good.
How are you going to, I guess, I don't want to say pull everyone together, but how are you going to kind of handle all of that? Because now you got the high stress of four companies versus one.
Yeah. It's a lot. Man, it's just, first of all, it's going to be definitely a learning curve for me. Obviously, there's a lot more responsibility. There's a lot more calls to take in. So I go from only going to firematic calls or accidents, going to signal nines, which is a medical call. If someone, you know, their stomach is hurting, or if they don't feel well and they have to be transported to the hospital. So those calls I'll have to go to. I'll have to learn about, you know, basic things, or, you know, and just be there during those times. And as far as how do I manage bringing everybody together and... just, I guess, be myself, be who I've always been, you know. Just I've always been a leader. I know how to, I've always been a people person too. I worked at Home Depot for a very long time, so I've always interacted with people from all walks of life, and that's the same thing here at the fire department. So I've always been a people person. I know how to talk to people. I know how to motivate people, and I don't think it's really going to be that hard of a task to manage it all. I'm used to, I guess, the different types of characteristics that go on here. You know, I know who the main characters are. I kind of know how to deal with them. So, it's going to be a learning curve, but it's a challenge that I'm definitely looking forward to, and it's something that, that my people know I can handle. And
you ready for Brookside? Because you know they say when you're chief, the hardest company that you got to deal with
is your own. I'm used to, again, I know the usual characters, so I'll be all right. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, exactly. I know who's who. You know.
All right. So, question. For people that are inspiring to being in the fire department, what would you tell them? What's some advice that you'd want to give someone that is just joining or wants to join?
Take it seriously. Being that with volunteers, I think some people don't really take it seriously, maybe at first, or I think this is just something I'm going to go and do, but take it seriously, because at the end of the day, fire doesn't care if you're paid or if you're a volunteer. It's going to do what it's going to do. And, you're not going to stand in the way, you know. Fire is not to be played with. So just take it seriously. If this is something that you really want to do, take it seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously, but take it seriously, because every time you go to a call, it could be your last call, you know. So just take it seriously. Be willing to put in the work. Be willing to be told what to do. Be willing to learn new things, and just be ready to enjoy the overall experience. If this is something that you really want to do, you're definitely going to come in here and you're going to enjoy it.
You're going to love it. Yeah. You're going to love it. It becomes part of your life.
Yeah, literally. Absolutely. This is all I've known since I was 18. So it's a big part of my life, you know.
There you go. All right. So we got some time left. We're going to play a quick game. All right?
Okay.
We're going to play a quick game. We call this game the flashover, okay? Mm. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you a TV show or a movie,
okay,
and you're going to tell me which one you would watch or which one is better, okay? So it'll be versus.
Okay.
So it'll be like, you know, maybe, and this is not it, but it'll be, you know, Android versus Apple, and you got to tell me which one, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, so it's called The Flashover. Really quick, what is a flashover?
All right, this, oh, man. That's when everything in the room spontaneously combusts. It's so hot in that situation, everything in the room just lights up. It's one of the craziest situations.
There you go. Yeah. So just everyone that's been listening to the show, you know we always ask what the flashover is, because flashover is real. And that's no joke. All right. So you ready for flashover?
Let's go.
You ready? All right. So here we go. Let's start. First one. And you got to tell me quick.
All right.
Quick answer.
Let's go.
Chicago Fire, Rescue Me.
Chicago Fire.
Rescue Me, Third Watch.
Rescue Me.
Backdraft, Ladder 49.
Backdraft.
And the most important question I am going to ask you today, engine or truck?
Come on, engine.
There we go.
Put the wet stuff on the red stuff all day.
Put the wet stuff on the red stuff all day. All right. I love it. Since we're talking about movies, though, tell me a movie that kind of either over-dramatized or was accurate portrayal of what you do when you go into fires.
Oh, man, I have to go with Backdraft, because everybody knows that movie.
Is what, over or it's what we do? Which one? Like, that's what I want to know.
It's over-exaggerated, way over-exaggerated. I mean, maybe for the time back then, but fires are so different now, and I can't even see how things they did would really, really hold up in the real world, So them walking around and there's no smoke and all that stuff, totally fictitious. Again, I go back to my story when I went from daylight to pitch black in a matter of moments just by crawling up some steps. So those guys being able to walk around, they have the turn-up boots and the jackets on, like, you know, it's like so over-dramatic. It's not really how it goes down, you know, so.
And it's crazy because the Chicago Fire, when I was watching that, they would have that where they're, and I know it's a show, so you
got
to see
it. Yeah, you got to be able to show it.
Dude, you wouldn't see the flames.
Nah,
that's not how it works.
Not at all.
All right, so I got a quick question. The last question that I have for you is, how has being a volunteer fireman changed your life?
Again, this is my life, so it gave me a place to go, a place to talk to other people, a place to see mature men do responsible things. So it gave me a path. It gave me some direction. It honed my leadership skills. It made me the person I am. I'm everything because of the fire department. You know, it taught me a lot. Some things I already had. I'm self-motivated. You know, I don't have a problem with taking direction and stuff like that. So again, the fire department was the perfect fit for me. You know, I'm one of those guys that you really don't have to say much to. You're going to say it once, I'm going to get it done. So perfect place for me. So the fire department made me who I am. You know, this is everything I own. I owe to the fire department. You know?
I love that. So. I love that. I love that. Well, listen, good luck.
Thank
I
you,
hope
brother.
You make chief.
Yeah, let's
I
go.
Think
let's
just
get it. Let's go.
Listening to this will know that you will make an amazing chief. I mean,
thank
I
you,
am a
brother.
Bit biased. I'm just saying,
thank
I think you'll be an amazing chief. So
I appreciate
good
that,
luck
man.
On that, brother.
Thank you.
All right. But thank you again for coming.
My
so,
pleasure, brother.
Everybody, we just heard from Eric Turner about his life as a firefighter.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Please like, share, subscribe, do all of that stuff. I am your host, Chris Moses. Tune in next week for another great conversation in the firehouse.